everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I'm here once again with Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everyone.
And that I let that music play a little bit longer than normal because the person who created it, that carrier up in Idaho, sent me an upgraded sound file, like the remastered version of the Classes of Mail intro. And he said, you know, you probably won't be able to hear a difference. It's gone from being an MP3 to a WAV file. And he's right. I probably can't hear the difference, but I'm glad to have it. And he also sent me like little bumper music or stinger music or something like that, like in between, like when we're changing topics. And so I get to try to experiment with that too, which I'm pretty excited about. The problem is that with my setup, it's out of reach. And so, Michael, can you go over to the computer, press Control Tab to get to the other song? There you go. Got to turn the volume back up. All right, and then go ahead and play the play that one. All right, here we go. Here it comes. Nope, that's the same one. Okay, so pause that. All right, and then Control Tab to the other one. Oh, Control Alt Tab. I'm sorry, Alt Tab. Alt Tab. There we go. Okay, now play that one.
Yep.
Okay, try that. Yeah, that's so cool. I'm excited to figure out how to use that. Now I got to figure out a way to get my laptop in arm's reach. And anyway, none of that is why you're here. I enjoy it, and so you are subjected to it. But Michael brings us here today. Michael said, hey, you got to have me over. We got to do a podcast. Because Michael has a topic that he wants to get to, which is the $39.99, the street observation, right, and the 1838C, the office observation, right, and
the count. The man is using that to harass carriers.
Right, exactly, to harass carriers. And I get emails about this from time to time. You probably get calls about it from time to time that, hey, they keep picking the same person, and like every week they're giving them an observation. It feels like harassment.
Because it is.
Exactly. Okay. And so, Michael, why don't you go and take it from here? Like, what's been going on? What brings this to your attention?
So, it's bringing to my attention because there's my station manager is picking on my T6. Okay. Now, here's the big difference. As you know, Alan has mentioned many times, I have a very, very easy route.
Right. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. You got the cupcake route.
Yeah. So, my T6 does that route, and he does it in 8 hours, just like me. Okay. So they don't like that because everybody else does my route in a shorter amount of time. So because they want to give him a handoff, and he won't take a handoff either.
Right, okay? Right. They want him to do your route plus auxiliary assistance.
Exactly. Yep. And with an undertime. And they know they can ask me, and so they're trying to force him to.
Right. Yeah, because the route is adjusted to you.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. He also has another route that is a monster route on his swing.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you about this route. This route, when I adjusted this route back in the day, and there was no homes built on this route. So it was an 8-hour route for this carrier. Okay. Well, there was a lot of new houses were going up, and now most of those are up. So this route is a monster route now. Okay. And the problem is that this carrier is a runner.
Carrier on the route.
Because this carrier believes whatever management says, and this carrier does not belong in our union. She has dropped out of the union 20 years ago, she will never go back in the union.
Okay.
Because she thinks that whatever management says is right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Union, okay? At my station, we have a couple of scabs, and two of them are runners.
And in fact, I know which one you're talking about because he came from Summerlin, where he used to work as a CCA.
All right, we're going to pause this real quick. Hold on. Hey, I just used it as music to come back from a pause. That was fun. Okay. Maybe that'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know. Yeah, but anyway,
we'll see.
Yeah. So all right. So we got that gossip out of the way now. And Michael's right. That person is a scab, but they're not a runner at my station. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
So I have a runner at my station who doesn't take any breaks or lunch and does it all on her own.
Right.
Now, here's the stupid part. We've caught her doing this a few times, but, you know, as a steward, we couldn't do anything because there's nobody writing a statement.
Right. One, you're not going to discipline your own carrier.
Exactly.
Right.
If she doesn't want me to file. It doesn't matter that she's a scab.
Okay? Right.
What she was doing is out on the street, would scan it delivered. Uh-huh. Comes back and puts those packets in her vehicle.
No.
Okay. Then she clocks out. And then before she goes home and delivers it to the houses.
Dude, no
way. I swear to God. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So because she does this route in so much, such a short amount of time, because she does this, Majum expects the T6 to do the same thing.
Right.
Because the T6, I mean.
Right. This is where the bar is set.
Yeah.
Yep.
And plus the T6 is, he's a young guy. So they think, like, you should be able to do this better than this older lady.
Right.
Yeah, but she's cheating the system.
Dude.
Okay. And so.
I want to talk about this for a sec.
Because of this, Majum wants to go after him.
Okay, and that's what brings us to today's topic.
Yes.
So before we fully get into today's topic, I want to talk about this issue, because it's an interesting one, of you have a carrier who's working off the clock,
yes,
which clearly violates the contract.
Right.
Do you think that management is aware that this might be happening?
You know what? They don't care.
Yeah, right.
They don't care.
And so it's very similar to carriers who work before they clock in.
Right.
That they'll go and grab their mail. They might case for a few minutes before they clock in. They'll get their case all set up. And all of that is working off the clock, too. And management, perfectly happy to look the other way.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, she never learned, because now she's getting older. She's gotten elbow problems. She's been getting surgeries done and all this stuff because she's overworking her body so much. And she still tries to do the same thing as she did when she was in her 20s.
Dude. So, as a steward, how do you think a steward should handle a situation like that?
Unfortunately, unless somebody writes me a statement, there's nothing that you can do as a steward. Unless you see it personally. She's not going to say anything.
Right, right. Yeah, see, for me, like with the people clocking in or working before they clock in the morning, it's done right in front of the supervisors. You know, and so I have taken the approach of going up to those carriers and being like, hey, I don't like the idea of you working for free. You know, that undermines the contract, that undermines all of us. So I would like to file a grievance to get you paid for doing this work.
But she doesn't believe in the union.
Right, right. Yeah, usually I've found that that will stop those carriers at least for a little while to get them to stop working off the clock.
But then I need a like a statement from another carrier watches her deliver out of her car.
Right, right.
But they won't.
Yeah,
they
need more evidence.
But they don't want to file it either.
And this puts you in a sticky situation as a steward, because that would get that carrier in trouble, because she's like pilfering parcels and violating a lot of different rules by doing that.
And so so that is a mess that she created.
So that's her mess.
That created for the T6.
Yes, so now we'll get to the mess this creates for the T6, who has to come in and carry this overburdened route.
And so now we have a new postmaster. Okay.
So we're always getting new postmasters. Yeah,
but this postman is all about numbers that's on sheet of paper.
Are you talking about the postmaster just for your station? Or are you all of the Las Vegas
postmaster Las Vegas.
Okay.
It's a lady who's
We get new postmasters and, like every 8 months.
Yeah, but this lady, she came to my station, and I asked, "Hey, is she gonna introduce herself to everybody?" To the supervisor, I'm asking them. They're like, "No," she said, "she's not gonna do that." So this is a postman who is afraid to see people, but yet has no problem.
Maybe she's just
telling
beneath her.
The postmaster or the station, manager what to do, because I believe that she looked at the numbers because after she was there they're harassing that.
That's when the harassment started.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So
I believe it started from the postmaster.
So we'll get to the 1838C. It's something that management should do from time to time, just to check the efficiency
of
a
carrier.
Right. Check the efficiency of a carrier and so on. And that's fine. My take on it, is when management gives you an 1838C as a way to help make sure it's not being used for harassment, you want to make it painful to management. And so you always want to verify the count, including verifying the DPS.
Right. Now, so here's the thing.
Go ahead.
You're checking the efficiency of a carrier with the route.
Yeah.
So it's most of the time it has to be done on the regular on the route.
It should be done for the regular
not
carrier.
Not the T6.
Right. Right. Okay. Because the replacement's time. I mean, a one-day count of any kind can't be used to adjust the route anyway.
Okay. And the only way to is check the efficiency of the route. But since carrier can't get in trouble for standards.
Right, right.
So they have to look at it and see if they can get them in trouble
for something else. Right.
Okay. And so therefore.
The whole process feels like just fishing.
Exactly. They're fishing.
Right.
Okay? So it's like this. If a police officer wants to get you in trouble, they're following you.
Right.
They don't see anything wrong that you're doing. But they keep following you for the next 8 hours.
Right. Eventually, you're going to do
something wrong, and they're going to pull you over and give you a ticket.
Yeah. There are so many rules. Eventually, you're going to break one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
So Is that harassment? When they do that?
In the situation as you lay it out, I think it would be.
That would be considered harassment. Right. And that's when people can file harassment from police officer,
Sure.
Okay. But same with management. Okay.
Right.
So what happened with this T6 is that last week, the station manager, not the supervisor, decided to do a $39.99 on him and followed him through for the rest of the day.
Okay.
And so I already said that he shouldn't be doing it. He should be the immediate supervisor and not to check the efficiency, not a station manager. But if you look at the rule books, it says manager. It doesn't say exactly who.
Yeah, okay? I don't think that's right, exactly.
But immediate supervisor should do that in case he's doing anything wrong. The immediate supervisor is supposed
to write that. Correct it.
Correct the mistake, right? Because in the Article ELM. 16,
It
says
like that the discussion should be with
With a media supervisor so that they can correct the problem. The station manager is not supposed to be doing
that. So we're still, though, talking at the point where this is a one-off. Where it's just one day, they follow you out on the street.
Right.
And then...
So yesterday...
Yeah.
I see a supervisor doing a 39.99 on him again.
Okay.
So you know me. Yeah. I go up to the supervisor. What are you doing?
Right.
He goes, oh, I'm doing $39.99. I'm like, he was just followed by our station manager. So what are you doing? He goes, well, I was instructed by him to do a $39.99. So I'm just following instructions. Like, you should be following instructions too. Like, you know, they always want to
Oh, yeah, sure, right? sure.
And I go, no, you're harassing this carrier now.
Right.
For sure, you're harassing now. This is the week after, 1 week. Right. Not 6 months, not a year. You've already done a $39.99. So now... You cannot say that this is efficiency of a carrier. Now you're trying to harass the carrier.
Right. Okay. Right. Because they've already gotten their measurements.
So this is where I want to talk about some of the contract.
Okay. Okay. Before we get into that, now, another way you can tell it's harassment is they pick the same person over and over again rather than just making their way through the station.
Disparate treatment.
Right. Just disparate treatment. Right. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And also, I already have a grievance settlement from 2022 that MAJ will cease and desist using 1838. To intimidate or bully any carriers.
Nice.
That is a settlement that I got back in 2022.
Well done.
Okay. And so.
I mean, management's defense of that feels like we're not using it to bully carriers.
But intimidation.
But yeah. Well, and, you know, then why are you doing it multiple times in a row?
In one week.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yep. That is intimidation.
Right.
Okay. And so they're already in violation of that grievance settlement. Okay. So what I want to talk about is that...
If you hear Annie, we got thunder here.
That was the thunder.
Yep, and that's Annie. She's making a rare appearance on Classes of Mail. Yeah, we actually have rain here in Vegas today, and so
we
got some thunder.
We need it. We haven't had this rain all year.
Yeah.
So anyway...
For the last 100 years.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to go over where the violation is, okay? So in the M39 Section 271, which is a special route inspection... Mm-hmm. So management can do a simple adjustment to route or a carrier requests a special investigation, that's inspection and it's warranted, or carrier inconsistently leaves or returns late. These are some of the rules that management uses to do a special route inspection on the carrier, okay? So when they do that...
Right, we're not talking about a 271G where the carrier requests their own inspection. These are management doing special inspections.
Right, so if you go to 271, it goes from A through H in different reasons.
Right, and G is the one that we would request.
Right.
So Michael's talking about the other ones. Yeah.
Right. So, and one of the reasons they use is a consistent use of overtime or auxiliary assistance, right? Well, since that one route has overtime every time it is on that route,
right?
So management has the right to check on the efficiency, right?
Right.
Okay. But here's the thing. The regular on the route goes over all the time, too. So now this is a management failure to not make the route 8 hours.
Right. And that should call
for
a 271G.
That is a violation also.
Yeah.
But instead, they want to harass the carrier because they don't want to do their job.
Right.
So that's a failure of their job of not making the route 8 hours. Okay. Now, this is where most people, like my president said back in the day, said that, hey, they can do this anytime they want. Which is kind of true.
Yeah, technically that's true.
Okay. And the thing is...
The argument is where does it cross the line into harassment?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So when they do an 1838, which is counting the mail, which the carriers have the right to verify the count also.
Okay.
Okay. So when management counts, you have the right to count. Why do you have the right to verify the count?
Because I mean, it says that in the M39, right? Mm-hmm. That the carrier can verify the count. So mm-hmm. there you go. There's your answer.
Yeah. If Magic refuses, then they're violating the M39.
Right. Because these numbers are going to be important.
Right.
Right. The whole...
Because you don't want Magic to cheat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. The whole idea of measuring your efficiency is based on these numbers. And mm-hmm. so you need to make sure the numbers are accurate.
Exactly.
So when I listened to the very first episode of The Lion's Den with the new host mm-hmm. of The Lion's Den, Paul Belanger, he talked about this, and he said that, you know, in his own experience, the DPS count is almost always like dead on, that it's really accurate. And in my experience, it's been that way as well. But in the 1838C, you do it to punish management. Okay. You know, on a regular route inspection, it's probably fine.
Remember, in the M39 also yep. says you can verify the DPS.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So you can count the DPS yourself, too.
Right, right. Okay. And Paul Belanger was saying that it's almost always accurate. In my experience, mm-hmm. it's within one letter. But
again, you can
verify you can, that count. And if they're doing an 1838C, especially if you think it's for harassment, then mm-hmm. fuck it. Harass them back.
Yeah.
Count the whole thing.
Count the
Take
whole
an extra
thing.
20 minutes. Yeah,
exactly. And then drop 20 minutes.
Okay? Right, exactly.
So, and that is the 1838, okay? But this time, imagine want to do a 3999.
Right, with street observation. Mm-hmm. Or the follow you. Yeah, yeah.
So anytime they do a 3999, they also have to do an 1838, okay? So
are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm in no position to argue. I didn't prepare
for
this
episode. The route examiner will use PSR 3999 to record all pertinent information concerning the letter carrier's office and street performance. PS from 3999 is an optional worksheet and is provided tally the deliveries that must be recorded on PS from 3999. But on that day of inspection, examiner also completes the form 1838 and 1838C in duplicate.
Okay.
Because you're checking the efficiency, you got to know what the count is for you to deliver that on the 3999.
Does that section, is that only in reference to the full-blown six-day count?
See, this is where you guys don't understand. This is what I'm going to explain.
That's why I'm asking, yeah.
Huh. Special route inspection number 272, not 271, 272.
Okay. All right.
When special inspections are made because of conditions mentioned in 271,
uh-huh.
they must be conducted in the same manner as the formal count and inspection.
Right, but what about a one-day inspection?
Same manner. Doesn't matter if it's one day, 5 days, 3 days. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Same manner.
All right, dude. Like I said, I didn't prepare for this. Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
So here's the thing.
I can't.
Anytime they do a special route inspection, they have to follow it in the same manner as a 271, all the full route inspection. So since you have to do a 3999, you also do an 1838. So when they only do the 3999 and don't do the 1830, they're already in violation.
Okay? You know.
And then what happens when you do an 1838? It also says you have to give a full day's notice to do an 1838.
Right.
So that's another grievance that you need to file.
So this should be, right. These things are part and parcel.
And we have a grievance settlement here in Vegas that if they do that, it's $100.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if they don't give you the 1 day notice for the 1838.
That's $100.
Right. So I think you have an argument here where if you don't also count the mail, then it makes the findings of the 3999 suspect.
Illegitimate, you don't know what the count is.
Right, exactly. You don't know how much mail the carrier is delivering, and so mm-hmm. how do you know whether that's efficient or not? All right, that's a reasonable argument.
Yes. Okay, and that is why it's on there.
Right,
okay.
And this is Michael doing what I love about Michael. Michael is making carrier's arguments mm-hmm. for them. What Michael does not do is make management's argument for them.
Exactly.
That's management's job.
Exactly.
We're going to defend our carriers.
Exactly.
And in this case, we're going to defend them against harassment, which is a very important part of being a steward.
Now, this, the stuff that I'm talking about is what the steward can file mm-hmm. so that management stops harassing a carrier because they'll be breaking all these rules or pay $100 because
they didn't give them a notice of $100.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just things like that. You can file all these grievances to start with. And then you file for harassment.
Okay? Right.
Because the Joint Statement of Violence and Behavior,
right.
which is, I think, Memorandum 1242 or 52, I forget. And then every station has to have a zero tolerance policy letter up on their board about safety.
And making the numbers is not an excuse for the abuse of anyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
You are correct, sir.
And so if there are... doing it at 3999 or 1838 just to intimidate a carrier,
right?
That is a violation of zero tolerance policy, and the Joint Statement of Violence and Behavior and
a mutual
M39 section 115.4
right.
for management, frontline managers' job is to maintain
mutual respect
atmosphere. Yep. So when you're sitting there and watching the carrier or on the street,
right.
that is intimidation. Okay, look and bullying that. Tactic. That is right, a tactic right. they're using to right. try to bully the carrier.
So let me ask you this. When you're formulating this grievance, these are all your citations mm-hmm. you're going to use, obviously. And then in your case specifically, you're also going to cite previous grievance settlements.
Exactly, which is Article 15.
What about statements from carriers? Where the carrier feels, you know, what does the carrier feel when management right. keeps picking on them,
well,
essentially?
So what the manager does is mm-hmm. they'll sit back good, you know, 8 to 10 feet behind that carrier so they can right. watch like 10 carriers.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's what they're using it for, is to try to intimate all those carriers so that they don't talk and they just go to work. And so that way they can yell at the person who's, if they stop doing whatever they're
Shut
doing.
Shut up and face your case.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and that is an intimidation tactic, not allowed to do that. Even though management has the right to manage, and they can walk around and manage and make sure everything is going okay, but they're not allowed to stand there and yell at people or give intimidation tactics.
And so this is where the carrier statement, I think, is important, because, you know, in harassment,
right.
like, for example, if Andy Dick mm-hmm. wants to come up and give me a really long and intimate hug, I might feel harassed by that.
So,
but if Jennifer Love Hewitt wants to come up and give me a long and intimate hug, I don't feel harassed by that. Mm-hmm. Right. So some of harassment is how the person feels who's on the receiving end.
And that is how Department of Labor says what causes harassment is when somebody feels that they're being harassed.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So when a manager stands there to watch you the whole time, yes. Okay.
Right.
In fact, I say this all the time, okay, which it's going to sound funny because I tell management, hey, I think I need to file an EEO. And they'll be like, why?
Uh-huh.
For sexual harassment, because you've been watching my ass
right,
for the last 20 minutes.
Right.
I don't know why you're watching my ass. I don't know why. Okay.
Sure.
And a lot of times they'll walk away because
you call them out.
Yeah. You call them out because you feel like you're being violated.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I get it.
And so that's why you do what you do. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now sometimes these carriers are scared to file this.
I like to call them out. I make a humorous, like, I'll ask the carrier who's being observed. I'll be like, hey, you ever get that creeped out feeling like somebody's just staring at you?
So on that, carriers don't like to write statements, right?
It's true. So I'd like to do the interview instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As a steward,
right.
go and interview those carriers, especially if it's coming from one carrier, to write that statement, say, hey, I feel like I'm being violated or being abused or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then you want some more witnesses. Then you go in and interview the carrier that was next to them.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
And so that's saying, that, hey, they were watching you at this time to this time. Do, you know, what do you feel?
And you can get the disparate treatment kind of statements too. Like, do you feel that management is doing this to everybody, or have they gone around to everybody equally?
Right.
And again, you get those corroborating statements.
That is an 1838.
Right.
Okay. 3999 is they're in the vehicle. Like my station manager.
Sure. Like they'll put a jump seat in
and follow them all day.
Right.
Okay. Now, first of all, if they tell you how to do some instruction or whatever, they're not allowed to do that. Okay. They're, in fact, just like I read the 272,
right.
you have to follow the provisions of being normal route inspection, where they're not allowed to tell you to do any instructions until, and they're supposed to take only notes down and then tell you what you did wrong or whatever later.
Okay.
Not allowed to give instruction unless you're violating safety rules. Okay. But again, if a manager coming out to you more than once, maybe they are looking for safety rules so they can punish you to do a 16-7. Okay, and that is a harassment to try to find a way to issue discipline.
Exactly.
Okay, and that is the reason why they can't be doing that. Okay, so there, you know, that is intimidation tactic. Again, like I said, that a steward needs to file, but the carrier needs to write that statement. So if any of the carriers you feel being violated by magic because they're doing this, you have to write a statement and give it to the to your steward.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Of course, if you don't have a steward, then you need to write that statement to your branch.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So that they can file that grievance. Okay. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Let's say they keep doing this to certain carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that carrier, they were doing it for 3 times. Right.
Right.
Now, they management thinks that they fixed it because now this carrier is running.
Right.
Now, is that safe?
No, of course not.
So now it's an Article 14 violation also.
Right. Pressuring people to go faster
Right.
is an Article 14 violation.
And then here's another thing too.
Right.
is that if when they're done with that carrier,
Article 14, by the way, is the safety section of our contract.
When they feel like they've corrected that guy's mistake, then what are they going to do next time? To another carrier.
Yeah, right. They'll move on to the next person because it's proven effective.
Yes. And that is what's going on nationwide for you guys to know. That is the reason why Corey Walton is reading about the 1838 and talking about 3999 and so forth, because these are violations that management is using nationwide right now.
Right. Okay? And this is the kind of thing that the dogs of war will come in and attack.
Right.
And here we have our own dog of war, our Korean war dog.
So what people need to do is the best way to fight it, write statements.
Right.
Okay.
You got to build that file.
And this is what I tell a lot of carriers, okay? Have a journal with you. If you feel like a manager is doing what they're doing, write a journal every day what they're doing to you. Because there's that one day where you felt you get really agitated doing it at the third or fourth or fifth time, you have notes on what's happened.
Right.
Okay.
Now, and those will hold up. I mean, that is evidence.
Now, here's where you also need to do. Okay. This is to piss management off. Okay. Anytime they do an 1838, make sure you get a copy of that 1838. Okay.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Anytime they do a 3999, make sure you get a copy of that too.
Right. Okay? And the street observations, the safety ones, the 4564, street observation, whatever it
safety
is.
Observation, whatever it is. Any get type a copy. Of observation that management does, you request a copy of that. That is the reason why you request, ask the manager, hey, why are you watching me?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. They have to give you a reason.
And again, when you have six of these and other carriers only have one at the most,
that shows your pattern. Proof of your disparaging treatment.
Yeah. Okay.
And here's the thing. I love these, okay? Mm. You'll have a safety observation, right? Says that, the carrier's doing an excellent job, because they'll send some supervisor who's not going to lie.
Right.
And said, hey, this carrier follows all the safety rules and does an excellent job. You'll get those.
Sure.
And you can use that against whoever station manager or postmaster is doing, giving the supervisor instructions to do this, okay? Now,
how would you use that against them? I don't follow.
Okay. Because you'll find out with some of these
minutes. So happens to me.
I've been given instructions to follow you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they don't want to get blamed. Yeah, I've been given instructions. Sure. Who's their boss?
The station manager.
Exactly. Then you blame the station manager.
Sure.
Okay? As simple as that. You file grievance on that person, on the station manager, not the supervisor.
Right, they're named in the grievance.
Because they're just following instruction. You already got an answer.
Right.
So since you already got an answer from supervisor, they're following instruction, you file your grievance against the station manager.
There you go.
Now, if you are a smart...
Well, you'd want to interview that supervisor.
And then if you interview the station manager why they did it, they go, no, my postmaster told me to do it.
Right, right.
Then you go after the postmaster.
Sure.
Okay.
Right, this now, toxicity is coming from the top.
And then if the postmaster, my district manager said it, then you go after the district manager. Okay. it doesn't matter who, you can go after anybody. If the district manager says my postmaster general said it, then go after the postmaster general. Okay. Don't give a fuck who said it. We keep going after whoever said it, okay? That's what we need to do, okay? Right. The only way to get after people is write statements and the stewards to actually file these grievances. And the problem with that is my branch will say, they can do that.
Right.
They're not breaking any rules,
right?
Okay? And so when I hear stuff like that, it bugs the crap out of me, because I take personal when my other carriers are being harassed, then I take it personal because they can do that to me too.
You're right. Exactly. They can do it to anybody if the union doesn't stand up. And standing up and filing these grievances is important, because it won't stop without the grievances. And calling out that behavior makes management think twice.
Right. So I had a supervisor who was sitting back behind all the carriers. Mm-hmm. And of course, I complained or whatever. I gave the grievance settlement to my steward and said, file that grievance.
Right. Your previous settlements on this issue.
Yeah. There you go. Here's a grievance settlement. Go and file it. You know? Right. And then I also make copies of the M39 saying that, hey, they have to follow all the rules of 271.
Right.
Or so go ahead and file that. Go and do that.
Yeah.
So it's an issue that's going on nationwide. Right. Everybody knows, should know about this. When management keeps doing this, that is harassment.
Don't just let it go. Right.
Don't let it go, because this is the new thing that management wants to use to go after carriers. Because remember back in the day, when you were working back in the day, what did MCSO, station manager, what did they do to harass carriers?
I don't remember.
They used to sit at a bar stool, whatever chair it is, watch all the carriers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And do you know why it got stopped?
grievances?
Yes, because that's called intimidation tactic.
I totally remember that. I remember when I was at Paradise Valley very early in my career, there was this poor woman who had anxiety. And she had poor attendance. And when she was at work, she would struggle. And because she had anxiety, when management would come and sit behind her and watch her, she would perform even worse. And she would have like a panic attack. And management used that against her as a bludgeon and eventually, from my recollection, drove her out of the post office. And it's that kind of injustice that our union needs to aggressively
fight.
Protect. Yeah, and fight.
And, and there are times that you'll have two to three supervisors will come up to a case and why are you going so slow?
I remember.
And come into your space to yell at you.
Yeah, it was awful the way they harassed this carrier.
So if this is where our branch is allowing right now, do you think it's going to get worse?
Of course. If you don't do anything to stop it, management
gets
a
free pass. It will get worse.
Yeah.
Okay. So people need to start doing this more, write statements, have stewards file these grievances. But the problem with the stewards that we got right now is none of them seems to want to file a grievance.
Because they're being told by the hall, oh, that's not a grievance. That's not a grievance.
Yeah. So
yeah,
this is where I'm at. But you got to hold people accountable. So if your steward doesn't want to file grievances and the hall doesn't want to file grievances, we have something called Article 10, right? Saying fail to represent.
Oh,
and
yeah,
people
sure.
need to start writing statements on what's going on. And when stewards or your branch officers don't do their job, we all need to start filing Article 10 charges for them not representing you. It's simple as that.
What
otherwise, nothing's ever going to happen.
Right. What choice do we have?
Yeah, because they're not filing grievances. They're just going to let management harass you over and over and over. If that's the case, they just need to start filing those charges. Because here's the thing. Those Article 10 charges, is the a lot of those things are happening to the active carriers, most of them, right?
Sure.
So when it comes to charges and they're not doing anything, and then you read out what the rules are, carriers going to agree to this a lot of that. Okay?
Yeah,
so
sure,
why are
sure.
you failing at this?
Right, right.
Okay? And this is where you this is how you bring up attention to your branch that they're not doing their job.
Right. Yeah, try to get it resolved first. And if you can't, I mean, that's why these checks and balances exist.
If they don't do these jobs, I'm telling the carriers, like if you file, write a statement, they don't do anything within 14 days, keep track of that.
Right.
And then if they, as much as you start getting any of these grievances that you want them to file, they're not doing it, then you need to we need to start filing Article 10 charges.
Yeah.
Well, I hate doing it, saying going against the union, but...
What choice are we given?
Right.
Yeah, if they're not going to do their work and protect carriers. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay,
sorry,
guys.
Sorry for this bad news, but no. I'm trying to protect all the carriers.
Yeah, this is in service to carriers everywhere who deserve to be protected. All right. I think that's it for today. We're at about that 30-minute mark. So thank you, Michael, for coming and sharing this important topic. It definitely needs to be said, and we are going to keep watching out for carriers and making sure that they don't get harassed.
Yep.
All right. So, everybody, thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you all next time.